Fine. So, again, we had left off with three models of Ptichat Daltei Haichal. One was Meir's preferred model, which is Gzeirat HaKatuv, God said it, I don't understand it, that's all I need. Israel Isaac's model, which is that we want to connect the Azara and the Heichal. And Evan's model, which was that the Mikdash has to be open for business in order to be allowed to bring Karbana. We noted that there are a few potential nafkemina. So one was obviously, well, if you close the doors and you're in the Heichal, that's the Shaila of the Sfat Emet, is it kosher or not? Well, if it's Gzeirat HaKatuv, then presumably it's pasul. If it's about connecting you to the Heichal, well, you're in the Heichal. You don't need to be connected to the Heichal. If it's about being open for business, yesh ladun. Yesh ladun. Right, the Minchat Chinuch assumed kidavar pashut, that if you're in the Heichal, you are fine. Yesterday, we saw another potential very strange nafkamina, which is the Rajba. And the Rajba says, wait a second, what if there's no mikdash? The Gemara says that under certain circumstances, we won't get in. So you can bring Kamanot, even though there's no mikdash. There are no open doors. Now, if it's about the mikdash being open for business, I mean...
Then yeah, there are no open doors.
Well, no, you would say that the very fact there are certain karbanot that you are allowed to bring when there is no mikdash, presumably the mikdash doesn't mean open for business if it doesn't need to exist for these karbanot to be brought, right? Again, if it's about connecting to the heichal, so you'd say, well, it's not connected to the heichal, but mitzad sheni, the very fact that there's such a category, right, would show that maybe these karbanot need to be connected less, who knows? Right? If it's a Gzeirat HaKatuv, then I guess it could make sense, because you would just say, well, this is a Gzeirat HaKatuv, the doors need to be open, they're not open, they don't exist. Now the Rajba's answer is that Dahatam Bizman Shaya Bayit Kayim, Deika Petach Ika Dalton. He said the rule is only when there is a Beit HaMikdash. Now, is that because it's a Gzeirat HaKatuv, and the Gzeirat HaKatuv is if there are doors that need to be open, but if there aren't doors, they don't need to be open? I mean, possible. It could be, if you want to go Israel Isaac's way, you could say it's not really that you need doors open, but that closed doors is a problem because it somehow, I don't know, spiritually stops the connection. But if there are no doors, then whatever residual Kedusha exists, because we hold that the Kedusha by it stays, because it's Kedusha Shechina and the Shechina is always there, it is now free. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't really.
But according to,
I don't know the precise contours of floating kedusha.
So
not. But, and according to Evan, that it has to be open for. Isn't again? You could say we could again nitpick and say, is it that has to be open or it can't be closed? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, right? Or clearly, it only has to be open when it exists or something like that. I don't know. Now there is another possibility, which will come to what we're going to see in Rashi and Tosfos in a minute, then I'll take your question. I know I keep pushing you off. Is that, and this is what's noted by the footnoter on the Rajba there, if you want to look in the Masada of Kook one, there's a whole page, like two-thirds of a page footnote on this line of the Rajba, which is, as we'll see, according to some Rishonim, the rules of Ptichat Daltei Haichal don't apply to all Karbanot, right? Because remember, the Gemara only brings it up by Shlomit. And therefore, it could just be that the Rajba, you know, in the end of the day, is assuming this isn't by Al-Karbana, right? And you could bring that into the equation, and obviously that would change it, but we haven't gotten there yet, so just keep that sort of in the back of your mind. Yes, Shlomo?
You said that according to the opinion that it's connecting to the Kedusha of the Heichal,
yes.
That's true because the Kedusha of the Shechina remains on Har Bayis, but the Ravad says that there's no Kedusha Bechlal.
I understand. I'm passing like the Rambam. You're not incorrect, but I was passing like the Rambam.
What do you mean I'm not even correct?
No, you were correct, but I was passing like the Rambam. You were correct in the Rambam, but I was passing like the Rambam.
Why do you think the Rashba agrees with the Rambam over
the... I'm giving you possibilities. The majority of you follows the Rambam, the Kedusha Abayit still exists because the Kedusha Shechina is in Batel. I have no idea whether the Rashba... It could be it's an explicit Rashba for all I know, but Et Chatanim Ani Maskir Hayom, that I don't know all of the Rajba, maybe one day. But the Rajba, just in case you were wondering, wrote a lot. Rajba is one of those people that wrote a lot. But he wrote Chedusha Rajba and Shas. He wrote Torah HaBayit. He wrote Hilchot Chala. Right? it is like it's a code on certain parts of Isra V'Heter, right? Hilchot Chala. He wrote a Peirshan Agadata, and he is the most prolific of the Rishonim on Tshuvot and wrote about 5,000 Tshuvot. Yes, he is the most prolific of the medieval Tshuva writers, that at least that we still have records of. It in the fancy big volumes. It's like eight volumes, something like that. One of them is Miuchas L'Ramban, but still, we're talking about 5,000 Tshuvot. So he was unbelievably prolific. It's a good question. I don't know. People like that, I don't quite understand, because I find writing so painstaking. You know, it's like so hard for me. You know. Look, a lot of people, I don't get that. You know? Again, I don't know how Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote 150 books in his life. I have no idea. Right? I have no idea how Jacob Neusner wrote over 1,000 books in his lifetime. This is very strange to me, right? How anyone writes 1,000 books, you know? I just said he wrote 1,000 books. Yes, he is the most prolific human being who's ever lived. He has 2 Wikipedia pages, one for his name and one for him and one for his books. Is he really? So interesting. Okay. Okay, fine. So anyways, the next nafkamina we move to is the following, okay? As I mentioned, Evan is going to get some support from Tosfot. Okay. So Tosfot in 2 places asks, why is it that we need 2 separate rules? Pticha dalte aheichal, and that you can't bring karbonot before the tumid. Now, the very fact that he asks that question points in Evan's direction, right? Because if it's about the connection to the aheichal, so then, as we talked about, it could be that if you open them and close them for the day, right, it would still be a problem, because it's no longer connected, right? If it's about opening for the day, then we said plausibly if you close it or something like that, it might still be okay, depending on how you view that. But the point is that if it's about the Gzera Katuv, well, it's a Gzera Katuv, right? It's, you know, it's a separate rule. If it's about being connected to Heichal, so then, well, presumably if it's not connected to Heichal even in the middle of the day. But if it's, well, these 2 things happen in the morning and you don't bring a carbon before that, he very clearly is going in the direction that the problem of Pticha Dal Teichal is you can't bring a carbon when it's still closed. Right, that doesn't count. Well, so let's see what he says. He says this in, I gave you 2 of them. In Menachot Memtet, he says, Mehacha Shamina Dilo, Vitema, Hamrin Reish Erevin, Shlomim Sheshachten, Kodem Pticha Dal Teichal Psulin, Vitepo Gledim, Kenakdim, and Kodem Tamid. The pasta de milta, mashma, kodem shnichel, vato yao. And so his question there is, I don't understand. Aren't these basically the same rules? Why? Now he doesn't even say this formally. He says probably. Right? Pashta de milta. That's just what it is. Tosfot in Erevin is a bit more expansive. And he says, Vim tomar, it's a shlom shashach and kodem tingle dalta aichal psulit. Vim tomar, typically the nishkadu kodem tamit shal shachar. Why don't you just say that the reason they're puzzled is because they were brought before the Tamid Shel Shachar? V'amrina ha'olah olah rishona, the Tamid Shel Shachar nami boy dalto ra'ichal. So now, this is leading us into our next question, which is this rule about all karbanot? So Tosfot, so far, now has told you, does he think it's about all karbanot? Yes, or at least it's not limited to shlomim. But the Gemara says shlomim, but Tosfot assumes, right, how does Tosfot get to the conviction that the doors must be open before the tumid?
By assuming that the tumid
can't be brought until you open the doors. And therefore, he has a, bear with me, very difficult logic here, but I think you can all handle it. You're all smart enough, right? Is if the tumid can't be brought until the doors are open, and you can't bring other karbanot before the tumid, then no karban will ever be brought before the doors are open, because they will be open in order to allow you to bring the tumid. I know, this is very, very difficult conceptual thinking. Right, Tosfot is thinking very practically, but obviously that analysis only holds if Tosfot believes that the rule of Pticha Dalta Heichal is more expansive than Shlomim, and it at least includes the Tamid, but admittedly, once you say it includes the Tamid, it's presumably all Karban, meaning unless you have a special Pasuk that says Shlomim and the Tamid Shal Shachar, which he doesn't, then presumably the reason he says it's the Tamid Shal Shachar is so you think it's all Karban, or at least it's Shlomim and Olod. I mean, I guess I can't prove that it's Chataot, but again, he doesn't have a Pasuk, which is why my guess is that the binary should be Shlomim only, because we have a that's what the Gemara says, or all Karbanot. I don't, unless you provide proof that limits it beyond that, I wouldn't, right, that would be the binary. So Tosa just says, Kititan v'tamid nishchad, lo haya tamid nishchad, ha'sheshom e'akol, shar sheniftach. And he has good raya. How does he have a good raya? Well, the Gemara in Psachim tells you that when would they shecht the tamid? When they would hear the gate opened. Which implies, strongly, that you hear the sound. Kol Shar Niftach, the sound of it being opened. Fine. You could nitpick. His point is, fine, V'yesh Lomar.
I just think it's sort of a weak.
Right, so Tosafot says, but again, I think that the very fact that he equates them does point in Evan's direction, right? That his conception of it. Now, it could be not. It could be that he's saying it's a practical point. Right? I mean, we have to wonder within Tosafot, meaning, is it that he conceptually thinks that these are both the same, that basically there's a Seder and you do everything in order, and you open the Mikdash, which means you open the door, and you bring the first Karban, and, you know, you start off your day with your, I don't know, your triple shot of espresso, right? You know, every day starts that way. Geez, some of you nodded in, you know.
That's a high amount of caffeine.
I tell you, or his uncle started with 8 shots of espresso in the morning. First
thing
in the morning.
That would kill you, no?
he instead of 8 ounces of coffee, he has 8 espresso shots to start his morning.
I'm pretty sure that that's enough caffeine to actually kill you.
No.
8 shots of espresso?
My husband used to have like 15 cups of coffee a day.
You guys also used to collapse while you were walking.
I wasn't doing it. I didn't. I wasn't a coffee drinker. Collapsing, sure. So again, it could be that fundamentally Tosa thinks that these are connected insofar as they both start the Seder Hayom. It's also possible, as we just said, that this is more of a practical point, which is if he thinks that Pticha Dalta Eichal applies to all Karbanot and the Tamid therefore needs to be right after the doors are open, you never practically have a case in which you would bring a Karban after the Tamid that the doors aren't open. Though, I will point out that it's what is clearly implied by Tosafot. We noted the question, but there is, so I can't prove it that Tosafot means what Evan says and not that he's just making a practical cheshbon, except there is a piece of Tosafot that proves, that points very strongly for me in the direction of Evan, which is he doesn't entertain the possibility that the doors could later be closed and that would create a problem. Right? He assumes that what we mean by Pticha Dalta Heichal is the opening in the morning. Right? Because he could have said, right, if he had believed that it was about the doors physically being opening, he could have answered that. That the Tamid was brought and then I closed the doors. But Tosafot never raises that possibility, which implies to me that he doesn't think the Pticha Dalta Heichal is the doors are currently open, but they have been opened. Because you obviously can't reverse that. You can reverse them being open. You can't reverse them having been open for the day. At night. Yeah. So Tosafot does answer, V'yesh lomar dekra deha'ola dafka behaktara airi. Velo b'shchita. So here he comes up with a very surprising answer, which is, but it relates to the Tamid and not to this, which is, so Ina, he says, V'yesh lomar dekra deha'ola, right, the pasuk that tells you you have to bring everything before the, after the Tamid. That's only by haktara, but not shchita. Right? Shchita, so he says it's perfectly legitimate to shecht a different karban, then shecht the tamid, then bring the tamid, and then bring the other karban, which is a big kiddush that the priority, temporally speaking, right, of the tamid is only for the hakrava on the mizbech, but not the shchita, which is going to point to, well, this will be relevant when we get to Shechita Lavavodah Yom Yudal Amud Bet, where the fact that shechita, even though it is an avoda, is a different type of avoda, and therefore in certain sense can be discounted. That's answer one. Inami l'mitzvah v'lo la'akev. His other possibility is that the rule that you have to bring it before the ola is a mitzvah, but if you did bring a carbon before the ola, it would be kosher. On the other hand, if you brought a carbon before p'ticha dalta heichal, it would be invalid. What? So, well, we could justify that in three ways. We could say, well, that's the xerat hakatuv, right? You can always say xerat hakatuv, mayor always can get away with it. You can say it like Evan, which is to say, listen, opening the doors of the heichal this means the mikdash is open for business. Bringing the tamid is like the ideal order, and it's worse to bring a karban when it's closed for business than when it's open for business, but you're doing it in the wrong order or something like that. Or you could go in your direction and say, listen, there's the order, which is ideal, but not ma'akev. And then it has to be able to connect to the heichal, and that is essential. Now, its problem is that the Gemara says that if you wait till after the Bein Harbayim, which seems to be the corollary of don't bring it before the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Gemara says pasul. He says that is derabanan. And now Tosfot comes back to the one that I said until now, implied Evan's direction, which is inami hacha itzrich kishenifduchu v'chazer v'nanalu. Or no, we need it when the doors get closed later, which means that very clearly in his first few answers, did Tosfot assume that the doors being later closed would invalidate the karban? No, and that's why I think that the earlier answers of Tosfot assume, like Evan, that it's about the mikdash being open for business. However, Tosfot's final answer is that no, if you close the doors later, then it will invalidate on picha dalta heichal. So in Tosfot's final answer, we have two and a half formulations. We can either go Meir's direction, as always, which is gzeirat hakatuv. We can go in Israel Isaac's direction, which is you need to be connected to the azara to the heichal, and therefore, even though it was open earlier, if you then close it, it's pasul. Or we could take Evan's modified model, which was we have to ask, even if it's about being open for business, does your siesta in the middle of the day, where you put up your sign on the makolet and says, I know you all want snacks to your hungry yeshiva guys, but we close between 1 and 3, good luck and starve, does that mean that you are now closed for the day temporarily or some, you know, fancy lumpness like that? So you could defend it. But again, clearly in the earlier answers, Tosfot didn't buy that. He waited till many, you know, till multiple other answers before he got to that point. Okay. Another relevant sugya is the following. The Gemara in Yoma is talking about shchut echutz. Now, the general rule of shchut echutz, what's shchut echutz? Shechting something as a karban outside the Beit HaMikdash. It only violates the rule of shchut echutz if that which you bring would be a valid karban were it not for the fact that you're not in the Mikdash. So the Gemara deals with the case of shachtan b'chutz kodem sheniftichu dalta reichal. What have you shechted outside before you open the doors of the Mikdash? So the Gemara says, patur. You're exempt, meaning it's not considered shchut echutz. It's an invalid karban. My taima, why? Mechusar p'ticha kemechusar ma'aseh adami. The lacking opening is like lacking in action, obviously. Meaning what? As we already saw from Tosfot, he thought this was very clear, that even if bringing a karban before the Tamid Shel Shachar is only the Chatchila, it's only the mitzvah, he thinks if you don't bring a karban, if you bring a karban when the doors of the Heichal are closed, it's completely invalid. Where does he get that notion? Well, Gemara is quite clear about this, sure, that if the doors are closed, it's an invalid karban, and therefore you're pater on Shchut Echutz. How do we explain this? So according to Meir, again, it's easy. If the doors are closed, it's pasul, it's gzeirat hakatuv, and therefore if the doors are closed, this is pasul, and therefore it's not a karban b'chutz. Okay? According to the other two models, it gets a little bit trickier. According to Evan's model, you'd say, well, the mikdash has to be open for business. Well, you say, okay, but I'm not in the mikdash. So you'd have to come up with something like, the nature of Shchutei Chutz is I could have brought this carbon in the Mikdash, and I didn't. But if I didn't open the Mikdash for business, I didn't open the doors, then this isn't the type of thing I could have brought in, and therefore it's not a carbon brought outside, it's a non-carbon brought outside, because according to Israel Isaac, this gets a... I could definitely defend it for Evan, I could definitely defend it for Mayer, for Israel Isaac, a little bit harder. Not impossible, but again, if you think the Pticha Dalta Heichal means that you need to be able to connect the Azara to the Heichal, well, okay, but I'm bringing a carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash entirely, right? So why does the fact that it's not connected to the Heichal matter? So Israel Isaac will defend himself and saying, no, it has to be that a carbon that had I brought it into the Azara, it would have been valid and connected to the Heichal in the proper way. But right now, because even if I had brought it into the Azara, the Heichal would be closed and therefore it would have been invalid. It's not a snub to God in the same way, because the carbon that I would have brought in the Azara couldn't have been properly connected to the intense manifestation of God's presence that is in the Heichal or something like that. Right? So you could definitely say it, but it's smoother with the other two, but I think eminently defensible in all three models. Why is there a theological problem? I think that invoking Zerda Katuv overly excessively is methodologically flawed because it's a cop out. I understand that using it overly broadly is theologically problematic. You mean because it's implying that God is completely irrational? His laws are irrational? Yeah, okay, fine. But that doesn't mean you can't ever do it. Clearly sometimes it's true. I understand. I understand why you wouldn't like it. I get it, I don't think it's theologically problematic.
The fact that it's not necessarily explicit.
Yeah. The Gemara takes it as a drasha.
Right.
The Gemara takes it as a drasha, right?
So, okay, so perhaps you can say that the sages were motivated
to interpret the verse that way, and the motivation implies an intent. Yeah, of course. Well, so you always need it. You're getting to a much broader question, which is, right, about the nature of drashot in general, right? How much are they what is in the academic literature called a midrash yotzer or a midrash mekayem, right? How much do we think that the drashot are just supporting laws that they already thought of, right? And how much are they being led by the drashot? This is, that is beyond the scope of our conversation right now.
Do that, it's better to err on the side of not going with the Gezeirah Shavah.
I do agree with you that if all things being equal, I don't like just chalking things up to Gezeirah Katuv. I'd rather the laws make sense. I agree with you, but obviously sometimes the Torah just has laws that are what they are.
As a historical document, as a Near Eastern document, the commandments have contextual basis.
Okay. Fine. I would just go with God had a rationale for it, but sure. You want to say that even if one were a heretic, he would still want things to make sense? Great. Okay.
I'm saying the commandment made sense to be Israel.
Yes, fine. Fine. I agree. Okay. So as we already saw in Tosfot, the next question we need to ask is, and then we'll try to tie this together, is does this rule only apply to Shlomim or not? So before we look at it inside, Misvara, should it only apply to Shlomim? Well, according to Meir will say, I don't know. The Pasuk says Shlomim, it's a Gzeirat HaKatuv. Maybe that's a limited Gzeirat HaKatuv, or it's an expansive one, but if it's just a Gzeirat HaKatuv, then it's very likely limited to what it says, which is Shlomim. If it is Israel Isaac says that it's about connecting that which happens in the Azara to the Heichal, so then either we would say obviously it should be all karbanot, because all karbanot should be connected in that way. Or you, if you wanted to say it's only Shlomim, you would have to explain why only Shlomim needs to magically be connected to the Heichal, which would be hard. And also in Evans, if you say that it has to be the Mikdash is open for business, well, you'd say, and that's only true for Shlomim, that would be very odd. Or it would seem to be all Karbanot, that would be my guess. Yeah? We already saw the Tosfot in Erevin says that it's all Karbanot. But again, Tosfot and Erevin, at least for the first several stages, clearly takes an Evan-like approach that it's about the Mikdash being open for business. Is that the Mikdash being open for business? So then what? One second. Then clearly, likely, it should be all Karbanot. At the very end, Tosfot seems to transition where he says that, well, what if you close the doors, which implies that it's not about them being open in the morning, it's about them being currently open, which again, either Gzeret HaKatuv, or is Israel Isaac that needs to be connected. But if it needs to be connected, then you understand why likely it'd be all Karbanot, which again, Tosfot never backs off of that. Right? Tosfot never backs off of the notion that it's probably all Karbanot, which again, if it's about connecting the Karban from the Azara, right, connecting that which happened to the Azara to that which to the Heichal and its Kedusha and the like, again, that makes a lot of sense. And Tosfot indeed holds that way. However, not everyone holds that way. The major person who doesn't hold that way is Rashi. Right? So if you look at the Gemara on Daf Samach Aleph, there are only two Rashis on that page, and it's not the four-word Rashi. Sorry. Right? What? It's the four-word Rashi and the one that takes up the rest of the page. It's that one. But the truth is we don't have to read the whole Rashi. But if you look towards the end of the Rashi, just a few lines before the end, he says, Vahu de Izuhu Mekoman, that halacha that we saw in Izuhu Mekoman. Shlomim Dafka Kamar. It's only Shlomim. Mishum dechtiv behu vishachatu petach omoed. Below Yalif Shar Kachiminayu. Now, Rashi says it's only Shlomim. Why? Because that's what the Torah says. And we don't learn other karbanot from it. So I could read a lot of things into Rashi, but if I didn't want to read Rashi, if I want to be, you know, read Rashi, Pshuto Kimashma'o, the simplest read of Rashi is Meir now has a very strong ally on his side. Because Rashi just says, why is it Shlomim? Because the Pasuk said Shlomim. And we don't learn anything from it because, you know, the Pasuk said Shlomim.
You could read it out the way.
You could say, it says Shlomim, we learn other Karbanon from it. But Rashi clearly just says, the Torah says Shlomim. We don't know that it doesn't mean anything beyond Shlomim. And therefore, it's limited to Shlomim. Now, Israelizer will say, oh, well, maybe give us Svara. But Rashi very much doesn't. He just says, the Torah said Shlomim. And I have no reason to expand it beyond that. Not a Svara, not a Pasuk, not a nothing. Right? It could be a combination of a lot of things. But I'm just saying that the words in Rashi are just, the Torah didn't say it, and I have no reason to expand it. That's it. Right? That is very supportive of this is a rule, because the Torah said so, and, you know, that's it. Right? Okay. Tosfot, though, as in Erevin, is not convinced of this. He quotes Rashi, right? and then he says, Vikashali, right? This is a few lines into Tosfot. He says, I have a problem with Rashi. Hatnan gabe tamid lo aya shocher ad sheshama shara gadol sheniftach. The Gemara says they would shech the Tamid, which is an Ola, when they heard the door being opened. Alma yafin and shar karbanot dein shoft and bishlamim. Which implies that you do learn all karbanot from shlamim. Now again, you could learn it because, well, it's just a gzera katuv, but it is expansive. Right? But his point is it's not limited. Ve'ein nir lomar dahinu midarabanan. Don't tell me it's darabanan, that shlamim is daraita and other karbanot darabanan. He says, because we compare all karbana mipsula, right? So he says, so it could be exerta katuv, that we have other drashot. And don't tell me that the whole thing is only in asmachta, The whole thing is the Rabbanan, right? So Tosfot raises a Havamina that immediately rejects this entire halacha that we've been doing for 3 days. Is the Rabbanan? He denies this. Deloshina God of La'akev, right? And why would he say it's the Rabbanan? Because there's a special rule by Kachem that a drasha is only ma'akev if it's repeated twice. And he says, I don't know of a second pasuk, I only know of one. And therefore, maybe it's only the Rabbanan, or at least the fact that it's ma'akev is only the Rabbanan. Doham Rinan. And his proof is the Gemara we just saw in Yoma. The fact that it biblically gets you off of Shchut Echotz, which implies that this carbon is completely invalid, biblically. Alma min Torah, And as the Gemara says later on, even if something is shouldn't be done d'oraita, but if it even reaches the stage of im alu lo yerdu, that if it goes on the mizbech, you don't take it off, even if it's aser midoraita, it's still considered ra'oi, and it's still problem shchut echotz. Kidem uchok berak achot v'shochet v'amala, v'zeo chacha t'shar kachem nami psulin bifnim kodem t'icho dalta echal. T'ikshirin imkein b'shlamim im alu lo yerdu d'kari psulo b'kodesh hechadit le'echshira. Ba'alma, imkein, udu b'shlamim, alo lo yerdu, right, he gets through this whole thing. Amai pater, b'chotz, elavade, b'shar kodshim, nami psulin. Im lo tomar, kevin, jelo niftich, ukodem, ashchita, dal terechal, chashev, shochet, shlamim, shelo bim koman. And now he tells you, unless, that why would you think that it's pasul? So now he sort of gives a different model, that it's considered shelo bim koman, not in the right place. Now this, I will be honest, sounds very much like Israel Isaac. How could it be that in the exact same place in the Mikdash, it's Shalom Bimkoman, right? Just because the doors are closed. It's in the same place. Doors are closed. But if you say it like sort of, right? So he does suggest that he says, V'avakav d'shar kachem einim salam atara, v'dami l'kachem kachem shachem b'darim, v'rakam d'mi l'kman he goes to the whole complicated, he says maybe that's not true by other carbono, that they wouldn't actually be puzzle. Why is not clear, right? But again, that, you know, the fact that you frame it as like a space, it's in the wrong space, right? That again, I think either it's a fourth model, but it seems like a strange model. Like it's in the same place, it's just the doors are closed. Right, more might point more in a model. Like what Israel Isaac says. Okay.
Is it multiple
Korbanot? It's Shlomim.
Yeah. So
Shlomim. Okay. Now I just want to sort of tie this together and give a little bit of a theory for why any of this is true. And then we'll end. Like I said, I'm taking this from Radani Wolf's book, this one, but I gave you the link for it. Okay. So first of all, he also sets up a few models, okay? His first model is, one, is exactly as Isaac said, it creates a kishur la'ichal, but then he notes that you could divide Israel Isaac's into two models, and as we just saw in Tosfot, that's the case. What are the two models within Israel Isaac's claim? Namely, that the point of pticha dal ta'ichal is to connect that which happens in the Azara to the to the Heichal. So one is what we've been assuming until now, which is that it's about the Ma'aseh Shechita, that the acts of bringing the Karban must be connected from the Azara to the Heichal. But Tosfot, as we saw just here, gave a different one, which is it's a lack of Makom, right? So Rav Dani explains what could Tosfot mean by that, is that it's not that it directly invalidates. It's not that the Ma'aseh Shechita needs to be connected to the Heichal. It's that the Azara only gets its full Kedusha when it is integrated into the Heichal, and that's why you're allowed to bring the Karbon there. But that seems to be Tosfot's model. Right? And that's why, right, I agree with Rav Dani, the Tosfot is essentially a twist on what Israel Isaac said. Right? It's about connecting the Heichal to the Azara, not because you need the act of the Karbon to be done when you're connected to the Heichal, but because in order for the Azara to reach its full Kedusha, it needs to be connected, and then you can bring the Karbon there. The other possibility, as we saw, is that it has independent validity, it has an independent power, the opening of the Heichal, and that in two senses, either mayor sense, that it's about opening the Mikdash, or in Evan's sense, that it's about the mic. He has a slight different formulation on Evan. Evan had been saying, right, it's open for business. He just said, we know that everything, the mikdash has to be done during the day. So it could be that by opening it, right, you made it the day or something like that. Okay? Or something like that. Right? And again, the nafka mina, he goes, we go. So the svaramet, as we saw, he goes to the sugya we saw in Samach Gimel and Yoma, right, about the shchut echotz. We went through lo de tafel chamor mina ikar. But now let's start to give a theory to it. So why, right, the one that needs the most theory, you know, the more most explanation is Israel Isaacs, right? Why is it that you have to connect it? So, well, you tell me, since it's been your theory for the last 3 days, I've named it for you. Why is it so important? Right, what do you need, if you want to just sort of bring it home, right? What do you need to make it plausible that there needs to be this connection?
You can separate it into two possible answers. The first one could be that it's for the sacrificer.
Right.
And the second could be that it's for the temple.
Okay, good. Very good. So one is that, or as we just said, one is about the Maisa Shechita, or it's the bringing of the carbon. The other is that it's about the Mikdash. The Mikdash is an integrated whole. Good.
Right, I mean,
I agree with you. Okay, good.
When I was in the temple,
took 3 days for that to come up. Yeah, okay.
I walked around, and at one point on the Temple Mount, I was at such an angle that I could see through the open doors in the shrine. And I saw into the Holy of Holies. And it was a very powerful experience.
Is this arguing within the Shochet or in the...
This is arguing with the Shochet.
Okay, right. So Israel Isaac is saying experientially, it could just be that, listen, it's true. You don't bring the carbon in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But it's clear that the point is you're bringing it for God. And God is represented by that which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And experientially, therefore, you need to be able to have a straight line, as it were, right, into the holier parts of the Mikdash. Okay, good. Correct. Okay, good. Now, if you wanted to say it's in the Mikdash, you could say similar what Israel Isaac said, but say it in terms of the architecture, right? That, like, the Mikdash needs to reflect the fact that it's all oriented around the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Rav Dani points out that if you look at the Rambam, listen to the Rambam's formulation of it, of the Mikdash in general. He says, "V'elu hein ha-dvarim shein ikar b'vinyan abayit." These are the things that are primary in the building of the Mikdash. Osin bo Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'yeh lifnei HaKodesh makom acher v'u hanikra ulam. And then there should be a place in front of that, u'shlosht hanikran heichal. And those are all called the heichal. V'osin mechitza acheret saviv laheichal. And then you make another wall around the heichal. Rechoka menu ke'ein kalei chatzer sheben bar, just like in the Mishkan. The column mukaf mechitza zu shehu ke'ein chatzer oel moed hu anikra azara. Everything in that outer one is called the azara. The hakol and all of it together nikra mikdash. It's called the mikdash, right? So the Rambam is right. He does seem to be pointing in this direction, right? That there's the three, right? There's the kodesh, right? Kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. And there's the heichal. And that plus the wall that goes around that is the Azara, and together they make up the Mikdash. Right? He does seem to be pointing to this direction that there is that, you know,
physical connection.
Yeah, right. He does seem to go in this this direction. Okay. But then he develops this more extensively, and he says as follows. Okay, so he points to the following. Uh, we saw that in terms of shechita, why did the Gemara say that shechita in the Heichal is kosher? Because lo yeta tavel chamor mina ikar. Right? Then we had the case by eating. Remember the eating? So there is a case where you eat in the Kodesh. And that is, hikifu ovdei kochavim in ha'azara. And if they were surrounded, right, by war. Right? Rashi explains that hikifu ovdei kochavim la'milchama v'yorim chitzim ba'avnei belistero l'toch ha'azara. When can you eat in the Kodesh, in the Heichal? When they're in war. And what is Yorim Chitzim Va'avnei Belistero L'toch Hazara? Arrows and what's Avnei Belistero? Catapults, right? Think about like fire, you know, catapults, right? The catapult things are falling in the Azara. And the Kohanim just say, okay, so we'll go into the Heichal, we'll eat there. Now, interestingly, Rashi says that's the case where it's dangerous, and therefore you can eat inside the Mikdash. But he very pointedly does not bring up the case where non-Jews broke into the Mikdash itself. Right? Right? He doesn't. Why? Or in the Eichel, right? It sounds like they're on the outside, right? And therefore... Why? So Rav Dani suggests, well, if you think it's about the place, so it could be if they actually make it in, right? Think about the Hanukkah story. We say the Mikdash was Mechulal, right? They desecrated the Mikdash itself. If all these halachot are about, right, the place being kadosh, so if they made it inside, then maybe it breached the Kedusha and you wouldn't be able to eat. It's only because they're outside and there's a danger problem, but nothing in the Mikdash was itself. But of course, he says, Lav Dafka. Right, and he notes there might be a difference between Chila Mikdash and Minid Achila. Fine.
Why wouldn't it just be a
that could be. That could be. It could be that too. Okay, but now, still, why would we connect it, and what evidence would we have to this being connected? So, he brings a few. He brings a few. So, for example. One example he brings halachically that points to the fact there has to be a connection is from the Eish Tamid. Okay? The Eish Tamid on the... What's the Eish Tamid? So the Rambam says, Ner ma'aravi shekava, ein madlikin oto achar yishinol nizbeach chitzon. That if the candle on the menorah is supposed to go all the time, the Ner ma'aravi, if it goes out, where do you relight it from? From the Mizbeach. Hachitzon. Right? Aval shara nerod kol ner shekavam en madlikum ner chavero. But the other candles, you don't have to. And the Ravid disagrees. And he says that if any of the other candles are still lit and the ner maravi goes out, you relight it from the other candle. But the Rambam says, according to the Rambam, it sounds like even if six of the candles in the menorah are still burning and the ner maravi goes out, right, the permanent one, you always need to light it from the Mizbeach and not from the other candles. Why? Right? But what does that imply? Right? No, but think about it. Where is the menorah? On the inside. And you don't have to light from the Mizbeach hachitzo. Not even from the other candles of the menorah. Right? Which, again, implies, and this actually pushes Israel Isaac's point further, because it's the connection isn't only about the Kodesh. It goes in both directions, right? Well, it's that they have to be integrated. Okay, we haven't explained why yet. First, let's just point out there are other pieces of evidence that point in the direction that these are connected. Rav Dani adds that this is particularly powerful considering the fact that the Eish Tamid is definitional to the Mikdash. Right? The Rambam, when he counts the mitzvah of building the Beit HaMikdash, he says, HaMitzvah HaEsrim, He Shetzivanu Livnot Beit HaAvodah. We have to build a house for worship. Okay. He could have stopped there. And he says, Uvo Yihe Akrava, where there will be sacrifice. Okay, so far... with me, that's the definition of a place where you sacrifice is a place where you sacrifice. Okay, that's V'havarat ha'ish tamid. And the burning of the constant fire, which means that the burning of this fire is like definitional to the Mikdash itself, right? The Rambam includes it in the building of the Beit HaMikdash, right? Not in the Avoda, but in the building of the Mikdash is the Eish Tamid. And that's the fire that is connected to the menorah, right? Which again shows that, but it's specifically, we see this connection between the Azara and the Heichal expressed in the fire, which itself seems to be definitional to the Mikdash. And the Ner HaMaravi also seems to be essential to the Mikdash, right? How do we know? Because the Gemara in Yoma on Lamed Tet, when it's describing the miracles that happened at the time of Shimon HaTzadik that stopped when he died, that seemed to reflect on the fact that the Mikdash was lacking after Shimon HaTzadik dies, right? What's one of its examples? Ner Maravi Daleik. Was the candle always lit? And agadically, throughout Shas, you have indication of this. So the Gemara in Shabbat Chav Bet says, "Ela edut hi liboy olam shashkina shob Yisrael. My edut amarav zu ner ma'aravi shenotem eshemen kimidat chavrotah hu madlik uvahu misayin." The candle, the ner ma'aravi, is evidence that God is present in the Mikdash amongst the Jewish people, right? Because you give the same amount of oil and you start and end with it, right? So this fire, right, both fires seem to be essential, right? The Mizbeach HaChitzon and the Ner Tamid, and they're connected to each other, right? So again, all of this seems to On the other hand, it's not the case that they're always connected. How does he know? Because besides the Torah Panimia, what if you took blood of the Chatar HaChitzonia and brought it into the Heichal? What's the halacha? It's pasul. The pasul is the karban, right? It invalidates the karban, which means that he says they are connected, but there's a duality. He says, La'or zot nireh shekeimet dualiut. Right? There's a duality here. B'nogei la'avod ha'kamon be'heichal. Mitzad echad, on the one hand, k'makom ikari l'ashchad ha'shchina, heichalonu miyuad la'kavod karban. On the one hand, the Heichal isn't where you should actually bring the Karbanot. It's too holy. It's where God's presence manifests. But Lam Rodzot HaKarbanot Sheba Azarat Tzvichim Liot Mechuvanim. But they do have to be directed Klapeyoto Ashrad HaShchina Shebifnim Gvijor Meshach Chachma. And that's what the Mishnah of Chachma explains it. And he says, V'nyan Tzarech Liot Avoda Davka Makom Hitkalut Elokeinu Yitbarach. Avoda has to be done in the place where God reveals himself. Liachet Avoda to the source of all. So the irony is, of course, well, if you need it connected, why is it that we don't just bring everything in the Azara? So one is possibility based on the Gemara is that, remember we said it's concerned Makom Rabo, right? So maybe it has to be directed at Makom Rabo, but not in Makom Rabo. Or you say it has to be directed to Mikdash, but remember, we're the ones bringing it, right? So by being not in the Kodesh, it highlights the human aspect, right? That we're the ones bringing it, but it has to be directed at God. Or he says a third possibility is, and this I think is theologically the most suggestive, is that he says, listen, on the one hand, it needs to be connected to God, and that's why you have to open the door of the Kodesh. On the other hand, we need to make sure that we don't have any indication of Avodah Zarah that we think that God needs to eat. Right? You think about the pagan temples. Of course, all of this happened where the God was because the carbon was brought for God to eat. Right? If you want to somehow make the point that our carbonate are brought for God, but God doesn't really need them. They're really about us connecting to God. So on the one hand, you want the door open to the Heichal, to direct it towards God, but you would bring it where we stand and not in, let's say, the place that represents God, because that would indicate we do it to connect to God, but not because God needs to eat it. Right, so that's his third thesis, right? Is that maybe the doors need to be opened so that it's clear that it's directed towards God, but we don't bring it in the Kodesh because then it would be implying that it's not just that we're doing it for, right, to serve God, but we're doing it because God needs food. And we dafka don't want to do that. And therefore we put the Mizbeach Achitzon outside. Right? So those are his three theses for what it is. Right? One is you want to bring it for God, but you don't actually bring it b'makom rabo, so his door is open, but you don't bring it in his room. The second is we want, on the one hand, Ashrad Ashkina, on the other hand, we want to emphasize the human aspect, right, that we are bringing it, so we do it in the Azara, but direct it towards his face, or we want to direct it towards God without implying that God actually needs food, and therefore we open the doors, but we don't bring it in, so to speak, the space of God, because that would imply that God needs it, right? Those are his three theses. As he notes, they could all be true. Yeah.
You just kind of latter opinion within the context of the incense being brought inside.
So, so Ketoret is interesting, right? Because Ketoret smell in general is viewed as a more ephemeral thing, and therefore, right? We never say that God eats the karbanot. We do say he smells them, right? Because smell seems to be considered a more, right, a less physical sense, and therefore we use it more freely.
Sure.
Also, it's part of creating the cloud, and the cloud actually, right, is where God either separates between us and God, or is where God is manifest. So we could defend, we could talk about Ketoret, but clearly the karbanot in that sense are more intense. Now, again, just to go through the halachic points, we've already done this, right? We talked about whether it's different karbanot. We didn't get into the question of what about other avodot. The Gemara. Later on, Tosfot later on does assume that it's only shechita, but malika and kmitza are not invalidated by tichot al teheichal. Why would that be? So again, if it's exer dakatuv, it's easy, right? If it's about connecting to the mikdash, that seems very strange, right? It seems very, very, very strange. Right, if it's about the mikdash being open for business, it also seems strange. It should include other avodot and not a shechita. We talked about whether it's limited to other karbanot. Right, we saw that Rashi and Tosfot argue about this point. Now, is there a svara to? You would have to give a svara why, if you wanted to, why would it only be shlamim? And even if you don't think that it's limited to shlamim, like Tosfot, you still might want to ask, why does the pasuk highlight shlamim? Right? I didn't say it is a little bit strange. Right, so, and now it is possible, so Ravdani suggests that maybe the reason that Shlomim might be different, or we would highlight it by Shlomim, is because by Kachay Kachim, we have a different halacha, namely Tzafa. Right, that the Kachay Kachim have to be brought by Tzafa. So it could be that either the halacha is only true of Shlomim, because since they don't have Tzafon, right, they have a different Din Makom, and that is Ticha Dalta Eichal. And even if you hold like Rashi, that it's, sorry, even if you like Tosfot, it's all karbanot, you still might say the reason that we specify it by shlamim is because all the other karbanot, we already know they have limitations of space, namely tzafon. And here we don't. Now, this, of course, would also, and I debated whether to do this, but to fully, you know, work out the sugya, you might want to get into the you know, the nature of tzafon, right? Why is the kachay kachim, or specifically by tzafon, right? Is it similar to the rule of pticha dalta hechal, or not? Right? And again, by tzafon, you can ask the same thing, right? Is tzafon a gzera katuv, that you just have to bring kachay kachim in the northern part of the azara? Or, like Israel Isaac said, no, the holier the karban, the closer it needs to be the azara, and that's why it needs to be in the northern part, right? It needs to be closer to it, or something like that, and of course this might come down to the I don't really have time to do this. This might connect partially to the Machloket Rashi and Shtum Kuvetza that we started with. Right? So if you remember, Rashi had said the only reason that we don't shecht on the Eichal is because right, it's not the right thing to do. And Shtum Kuvetza had said two things, right? Is that it's not Safon and that it's and Pticha Daltei Eichal. That Machloket, he notes, might come down to the following, that according to Rashi, the reason you have to do it in the north is, just like we said by Pticha Delta Eichal, Rashi thinks the same thing is true of Safon, right? That it's about connecting the Kodesh HaKodashim to the Azarav, to the Eichal, and therefore, if you're in the Eichal, you are Mekayim Safon. And the Shittikum Betzed, who says, no, it's lacking Safon, right? The exact same analysis we had by Pticha Delta Eichal. Right, the fact that he says, no, it's not Safon, would point to the fact that he holds more like Meir. It's Zerah Katuv, and I'm farther from the Mikdash. That's better if that's where you said you are supposed to be. It is worth noting that there is, as I mentioned, a three machloket about Safon. Rabbi Yossi says, and which might point to this, that the Mishnah says, Kachi kachan shachim rosh mizbech. What if I shechted it on the Mizbech itself? So Rabbi Yossi says that counts as Safon. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says no. It needs to be on the northern half of the Mizbeach. Right? And it could be that that machloket is the same, right? If it's about, Safon is about connecting you to the Heichal in a more intense way, well, if you're on the Mizbeach, you're about as holy as you can be. Right? If you say it's just a rule that needs to be north, then you'd say even on the Mizbeach, you need to divide the Mizbeach into sections and do it in the north. Again, in Safon, there's also a discussion of whether birds also need it. They don't seem to. Karban Ov does not need Malika in Safon, and then you have to figure out why, but that's going to come down to why birds are different than Karbanot. It could be that birds, because Malika is unique to Karbanot, it's very clear this is a ritual act, where Shechita is an act that exists outside of the Mikdash, and therefore you need other things to make it clear that this is an act in Avoda, but we'll come back to that when we get to Shechita Lav Avodahi. But for now, we'll leave Pticha Delta Eichal here. Tomorrow, start reading through the Gemara on Yudalit, and the next two major sugyot are Halacha and Shechita Lav Avoda. But first, you need a sort of an overview picture of the Gemara. I'll figure out which Makarot I print out for tomorrow, but at least start reading the Gemara, and we'll do an additional read tomorrow. Yeah? We have